Okay. So we all know that we have to make a Birkas Hananim. Birkas Hananim doesn't just refer to food, but for the purposes of this discussion, it refers to food. So you make a bracha before you eat. So we're going to discuss. It's a very interesting discussion. We're going to discuss what's the nature, what's the machayev, what's the obligation of making the bracha. Let's try to pinpoint exactly why we have to make a bracha, and then we're going to see a machlekes about it, and then we're going to see some very practical differences between what the reason is why you have to make a bracha.
Wasn't the idea to get rishus to use it?
Oh, very good. So that's one shita. Okay. So says the Gemara, we first start off with the actual Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, in brachas, it's the first Mishnah in Ketzin Mavarchan. Everyone knows the Mishnah. So I just wrote it down. Ketzin Mavarchan Alaperis. So what bracha do you make on fruit? So Alperis on produce. Alperis Elon. So if it's fruit of a tree, who oimer boi priyoetz. You say a boi priyoetz. Chutzmen hayayin. Besides wine, right? So wine, when you press the grapes and you make it into wine, so it's still considered to be the fruit of the tree because the wine is chashev. So you would expect to make a bari prio eitz on the wine, but it's an exception. Sha'ala yayin hu oimer bari pri hagafen, right? So it's elevated, it's promoted to a new bracha. Alperis ha'aretz, what about the fruit of the land? Hu oimer bari pri hu adama. You make bari pri hu adama. Chutz min ha'pas. With the exception of bread, right? So bread is the same thing. Bread is produced from the fruit of the land, from the grain, right? So you would expect to make a bari priyo adama, but since it was elevated into the, you maximize the potential, so you get elevated to a new bracha, you say, hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Al yurakas hu'aymer, on vegetables you say, bari priyo adama, like on greenery, right? So the first thing of peres adama, peres ha'aretz, would have been something like potatoes or something, right? Or a root, like for example a carrot. You say bari pri adama. Yurakais is the greenery, like lettuce, right? So we hold, that's how we pass, can you make the same bari pri adama, whether it's a root vegetable or whether it's greenery, like lettuce. But Rabbi Yehuda says bari mine dishoyim. Rabbi Yehuda has a different bracha. He differentiates between the different produce of the land. Bari pu adama, bari mine deshoyim. The Rishonim say there that if you would eat seeds, right, you would say bari mine zroyim. So he differentiates very, very particularly between each and every type of fruit of the ground.
What does the word deshoyim mean?
Deshoyim means like deshoyim, desha means, yeah. Means green covering.
No, in modern Hebrew,
Rashi says in Chumash that Esev refers to the individual strand blade of grass, and Deshoyim is more of a general term that it covers the earth.
Uh-huh.
So it's more of a generic term, Deshoyim. But it refers to the greenery. Yeah, exactly. It should be covered with greenery. Now, here's the point that we're going to focus on. Ubi Gemara. So the Gemara asks in Brachas, the beginning of the sixth parak, Minohani Mili. So how do you know that you have to make a Birkas Hananin in the first place? So the Gemara goes through, the Gemara tries and rejects different psukim and things like that. Finally, the Gemara says at the very end, Ela Svarahu. It's a Svara that you have to make a Bracha. Because we have a klal. That it's forbidden to benefit from this world without a bracha. That's how we know you have to make a bracha. It's a svara, because you can't benefit from the world without a bracha. And then the Gemara says a few lines later, Omer Rav Chanina Bar Papa Kol Anena Min Ha'olam Hazeh B'loi Bracha. Anyone who benefits from this world without a bracha, Ki'ilu Goizel L'HaKadosh Baruch Hu U'Knesses Yisrael, it's as if he stole from Hashem. Right? So I think that Ezra, you said before, I think that we would have thought, right, and we're going to see Rashi learns differently than what we thought, but I think that we would have thought that you have to make a bracha to get permission, and if you eat without a bracha, it's like you stole the food because you didn't get permission. That's what we would have thought. But interestingly enough, Rashi has a whole different shot. So Rashi says, what?
You go by who actually made the food.
Yeah.
So look, Chazal rely on what asmachta, what pasuk? Where they learn
it's not that, a pasuk, it's a svar.
It's a svar. But yeah. Will they learn that from what's the makor?
So actually the Pnei Yeshua says that usually if something's a svara, it's a deraisa. Uh-huh. So the Pnei, in other words, it's a truism.
So it's a lachale Moshe Misinai?
So svara means that it's obvious. Like it's obvious what that's what Hashem wants you to do. It's a svara. So lamali kra svarahu. Why do you need a pasuk? It's a svara, right? So the Pnei Yeshua actually is very bothered. Why do we pask in the brachas are only the rabbanan? If it's a svara, it should be like intrinsically obvious, right? But it should be the raisa. But the halacha lamaisa is that brachas are only considered the rabbanan, and this svara, I guess, is only a svara the rabbanan. Right, it's not something that's completely compelling. It's only a svara d'rabbanan. The Pnei Yeshua asks this kasha. I guess the Gemara just means it's a svara on a d'rabbanan level. Mm-hmm. It's not absolutely machrach, but it's a svara on a d'rabbanan level. But the Pnei Yeshua asks what you're asking, that if it's a svara, it should be a deraisa. Right, but we don't pass like that. Lamaisa, we pass it's only the rabbanan. So now Rashi says like this. Ayin pirish Rashi. Rashi says he defines what does the Gemara mean that it's a svara. So again, so we would have thought, just to bring out the point, we would have thought that a svara means that it's obvious that you can't eat the fruit without permission. You can't benefit from this world without a bracha. But Rashi does not say that. Rashi says that it's obvious. The kivin dinene. Since you're getting benefit, tzarech lahoidois l'misha baram, you have to thank Hashem. So we're not asking permission to eat the fruit, to eat the food, right? The svara is that you have to thank Hashem. Hoida. Shach and hoida. That's the lashon of Rashi. And then Rashi says, right? Rashi says later that when the second line of the Gemara says, anybody who eats without a bracha is stealing, so Rashi says, Dibur Hamaskal Goizel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're stealing. So Rashi says, what are you stealing? Esbir Kasai, you're stealing the bracha. He doesn't say you're stealing the fruit. He says you're stealing the bracha. Right? So we would have thought the Gemara meant, if you don't make a bracha, it's like you're stealing, right? Because you have to get permission to eat the fruit. And if you don't make the bracha, you're stealing the fruit from Hashem. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says the svara is that you have to make a bracha, not because you need permission to eat. The reason why you have to make a bracha is because you pashut have to thank Hashem. And then when it comes to stealing, if you didn't make a bracha, Rashi doesn't say you stole the fruit. Rashi says you stole the bracha.
Seriously,
you have to say thank you.
No,
that's what our parents said.
That's what our parents. I don't remember, learning to making the bracha.
Oh, you mean your parents? The way you remember, you grew up thinking that you have to thank Hashem.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. No. So some people. So I would have thought when you bank, you have to thank Hashem. But is the bracha rishoina because of thanking Hashem, or is the bracha rishoina to get permission? That's basically the bottom line. What's the nature of the bracha?
Is
the so Rashi does not say it's to get permission. Rashi says that the bracha rishoina is also to thank Hashem.
But it's a deraisa.
It's not a deraisa. It's a svara. It's a svara. So it's a derabbanan svara that the rabbanan enacted this. What? No. Benching's deraisa.
That's what I'm talking about.
Bracha rishoina is only derabbanan. So the question on the table is: is the bracha rishoina to get permission to eat? Or is the bracha rishoina simply to thank Hashem?
I could say you could have bracha rishoina need permission, and bracha achrona is
to
thank you.
Right. You could have split it.
And when do you have a thank you? When you've experienced
after
the hana?
Exactly. But Rashi doesn't say that. I just want to point it out.
I don't hear the hamin of permission.
Okay, the Ritva says, hold on, the Ritva is going
to
say
permission. The Rashi will give permission to eat, already gave other permission to
So that's why it's only the Rabbana. So that's why it's the Rabbana. That's why it's
the
Rabbana.
The menu was all veggie and eat it.
So now, the Marsha...
It's still all veggie. I mean, he also later on gave permission to Nayach to eat
he already
cows,
gave permission. He already gave permission.
So that's why it's only the Rabbanan.
That's why it's the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan put into place
that you still need permission.
So now, the Marsha asks on Rashi, right? The Amai Loi Pirish Rashi Kipshutai in Gimel. Why didn't Rashi explain the Gemara the way it's simply understood, that if you eat without a bracha, it's as if you stole from Hashem the peris gufa, the actual fruit, because you ate it without asking permission, right? So the Marsha, Be'emes, learns that way. The Marsha, he rejects the Rashi, he argues on Rashi, so to speak, and he says that the simple understanding of the Gemara is that if you eat without a bracha, you're stealing the fruit, not that you're stealing the bracha. It's almost like circular reasoning, right? If you eat without a bracha, you're stealing the bracha, right? That's what Rashi says. The Marsha says, why don't you explain the Gemara simply that if you eat without a bracha, you're stealing the fruit? That the food is usher to eat without a bracha. Why is Rashi saying something like convoluted? He's saying that you're stealing the bracha, right? Rashi seems to say, like you're saying, Rashi seems to say that the fruit is already ours. You don't need permission to eat the fruit, right?
But
you have to thank Hashem.
you could tie against it too. You could say you only had permission from the fruit if you make the bracha.
Yeah, I hear. So now, Ayin Ritva. So the Ritva on the Gemara there learns like the Marsha. So I quoted the Ritva verbatim. Vizela Shoinai. This is what the Ritva says. Heich Yitl Adam. How can you take something that's not yours and not ask permission? And the Ritva says that's the source to make the bracha before. So we actually have the Ritva and the Marsha on one side, that the purpose of the bracha Rishoina is, so to speak, to ask Rishus, and until you ask Rishus, you don't have permission to use the fruit. And the Rashi seems to say that the Etzem, you have permission to eat the fruit straight away. The bracha is to thank Hashem.
So the Ritva and the Marsha follow the Gemara, and Rashi not.
Right. So the Marsha and the Ritva learn the Gemara Kipshutai,
yeah.
But Rashi seems to learn the Gemara differently. Rashi seems to understand, really like you're saying, that we already have permission to eat the fruit, right? But now the Svara is simply to thank Hashem, even the Bracha Rishoyna.
Right, but I don't understand, Rashi, how you go to the Bracha from...
How are you stealing the bracha? In other words, what you're taking from... So hold on. So let's just say... So let me just read the next one.
To a bracha,
exactly. Now we can answer...
You're stealing that bracha. Depriving Hashem's bracha of that bracha.
But it's his bracha. If I don't say it, it's like...
In other words, that's what Hashem wants in return. Hashem wants in return his bracha. So if you eat without the fruit, you're stealing the debt of gratitude that you owe Hashem. So what are you stealing? You're not stealing the fruit, according to Rashi, because you already had permission to eat the fruit. You're stealing, what you're holding back is the bracha itself, because that's all Hashem asked from you. Hashem wants, the svara is that it behooves us to thank Hashem. If we hold back, if we don't give the bracha, we're not giving Hashem what he wants in return for the fruit. But we're not stealing the fruit, right? If I buy something from you, I didn't steal the object, I'm stealing the money, right? So over here, if I buy something and don't pay later on, right? So you don't look at it like I stole the object. I bought the object fair and square. Now I owe you money, right? And I'm withholding the money. So that's what it's like over here. You have permission to take the fruit. You just owe Hashem a bracha. So if you don't make the bracha, you're stealing the bracha. Now, So in Hey, so I wanted to, I summed it up. So it's Mavur, the Nechel Kurashi and Ridva, with the what the Etzim Svara of the Gemara is. Right? The Gemara says it's a Svara. So Rashi and the Ridva are arguing what exactly is the Svara. According to the Ritva, the Svara is, like we would have thought originally, the whole world belongs to Hashem until you make a bracha. According to Rashi, the Svara is just that you owe a thanks. The Chayiv Lahoydos. Ulefizes, now based on this, this is probably obvious now. Asi Shapir Lama Dochak Ra. Why did Rashi force himself to say that you stole the bracha? That was the Marsha's question, right? But now it's very obvious why Rashi learned like that, because Rashi held that you already have the right to eat the fruit, right? So you can't say it's as if you stole the fruit. Rashi has to say it's as if you stole the bracha. So it comes out of, it's a fundamental machlekes here. According to the Ritva and the Marsha, you don't have permission to eat until you make a bracha. It could be it's only the Rabbanon, but the gedder of the Rabbanon was that it's usher to eat the fruit until you make a bracha. The bracha is a matir. The bracha permits you to eat the fruit. According to Rashi, the bracha doesn't permit you to eat the fruit. Theoretically, you could eat the fruit without making a bracha. It's just that the Chachamim said, before you eat, you have to thank Hashem. Right? But it's not an iser cheftza. It's not that the fruit is usir until you make a bracha. It's the opposite, right? Because you have to make a bracha, that's why you can't eat the fruit until you make the bracha. You owe a bracha. But the fruit is not intrinsically usir. According to the Ritva and the Marsha, the fruit, it's an iser cheftza. So it's almost like we can use like the Lamisha terms. According to the Ritva and the Marsha, it's an iser cheftza. According to Rashi, it's a chiyav gavra. Right? The chiyuv to make a bracha has nothing to do with the fruit. The chiyuv is you have to thank Hashem before you take the fruit.
So according to the Ritva, you really need to be very precise in your bracha. Like getting the wrong bracha, like saying shahakol when it really is a specific bracha.
So I actually saw Rab Arya Leib Malin. He says something that he says, some people like don't learn it up in the Rishonim like so precisely. Some Rishonim, some Achronim say that there are both there to two dinim, right? There's two reasons why you make a bracha. One reason you make a bracha is not to steal, and the other reason why you make a bracha is to thank Hashem. So Rab Leib Malin actually explains, we all know if you don't know the right bracha, you can say shahakol, right? So Rab Leib Malin explains, the precise bracha is to thank Hashem. The shahakol is to be matir, that it shouldn't be a steal. So if you know the right bracha, you want to thank Hashem properly. If you don't know the right bracha, you can't thank Hashem properly. But at least don't steal the fruit. Right?
It's a hybrid answer.
Right. They know it's both dinim, right? But in the Rishonim, you don't see that. That's already like a chroinish rit. In the Rishonim, you don't see that. In the Rishonim, it's either or. Either the reason to make the bracha is to permit the fruit, or the reason to make the bracha is to thank Hashem. Right? The Achroinim already say there are two dinim.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's
so
how it develops.
If someone ate whatever fruit and did not say the bracha Rishona,
yeah.
Still mechuyev to say bracha Achrona?
Oh, so that's very interesting. So I saw that some people want to be toileted on this. So we hold, yes, we hold that you do have to make bracha.
No, but
some very good. So some people want to say that it should depend on these two tzadim. Because we're going to see later, if you eat something that's forbidden, you don't make a bracha. So what happens if you didn't make a bracha rishona and then you ate, right? So is it considered I ate something forbidden, or is it considered that I simply didn't thank Hashem? So some want to say it depends on this. According to the Ritva, that it was considered forbidden fruit, then maybe you shouldn't make a bracha chayna right. Because you ate something be'isr.
Yeah,
but according to Rashi, it was just a bittel on the chiyuv gavra.
The bracha is a so
then you would make the bracha chayna.
So according to Rashi, you lost the first bracha, but not the second.
Right. According to the Ritva, someone could argue that you can't make a bracha chayna anymore because you already ate something that was
asr. The bracha chayna is the rabbanon. The bracha chayna is the daraisa.
By benching for sure, and some people say by the me'ein sholosh of the zayin minim. It's a machlokes for sure.
So in that case, you know, you because I flubbed up on the rabbanon, I'm gonna mamash commit a daraisa.
Yes, you're probably right that you wouldn't say it on a daraisa, but at least on a brain of fashis, maybe you would say that.
You might consider not saying,
yeah. Now, we don't pass like that, but we're going to say, okay, let's go further now to Vav. Now, the Rashba says something very interesting. The Rashba is on Daf Lamed Vav. The Rashba says like this, quote, Leka the Tom bracha lo lefana vlo la achrev min ha-toira. There's no such thing as a bracha being deoraisa. So, Rav Moshe, this is what you just said. Ela shivas haminim bovad, just the zayin minim. So, the Rashba's opinion is that when you say ala gefen, al priyagefen, or ala michgim, al kakala, so it's deoraisa. A lot of Yishonim hold that the Me'ein Shalosh is only the Rabbanim, but the Rashba holds is the Raisa. So, but look what the Rashba says. There's no such thing as a bracha midoraisa besides benching and besides the Shivas Haminim, Shehein Tu'unim Achrei Min HaTorah, but Hoshar Minim, everything else, look what the Rashba says. Ben Lefneim, Ben La'achreihem, Ein Tu'unim Klal Ela Misvara. The bracha before and after are both the same Svara.
Which means he's all about the Rabbanon, then.
They both the Rabbanon, usually. In other words, not Me'ein Shalosh. Let's say Brein HaFashos.
Yeah.
The bracha before and the Brein HaFashos, let's say, after, they're both derived from the same Svara. So now I said in Zion that it's Mavur. Now let's think for a second. Ezra, this is what you were saying before. Let's take a step back. If you hold like the Ritva, the bracha before is not to steal, and the bracha after is to thank. So how can you say the bracha before and the bracha after are derived from the same svara? It's two different svaras, right? So obviously the Rashba holds like Rashi that the bracha before is to thank and the bracha after is also to thank. So the Rashba is mavur like Rashi.
So the Rashba is looking at learning, you're thanking Hashem for enabling you to eat this. The second bracha, the bracha front is you're thanking Hashem for the hanah you had.
Yeah. But it's the same svara. In other words, the svara is that it makes sense to thank Hashem before and to thank Hashem after. But if you hold like the Ritva, how can you say it's the same svara? The bracha before is to permit the food, and the bracha after is to thank. So it's mavur from the Rashba that the bracha achroina is also for the same svara. So this is what it's more understandable like Rashi, because the purpose of the bracha is to thank. So then you can say the bracha before and the bracha after are the same svara, right? That the svara is to thank. So it's appropriate to make that bracha after as well. And it's a kal vachomer, because you even benefited already, so for sure you should thank. But according to the Ritva and the Marsha, you already got permission. So why do I have to get permission again once I ate, right? So obviously the bracha after is to thank. So how can you say it's the same svara? According to the Ritva, the bracha before and the bracha after are totally different, right? So that's in Havana, in understanding, right, it comes out a different, there's a nuance here. According to Rashi, the bracha before and the bracha after are both surrounding the same point. But according to the Ritva, it's two different points. There's a bracha before to permit the food, and the bracha after is to thank. Right? So the Rashba says it's the same svara. He obviously holds like along the lines of Rashi.
Why do we make a bracha on something that the food is
spoiled? So it depends. If the food was edible, then you make a bracha.
What is that? You don't know that because
so the Gemara, right. So the Shulchan Aruch talks about, like the Gemara talks about, so if let's say you have bread, and so the bread deserves a benching. But let's say the bread is slightly spoiled, so then it gets demoted to a brei nefashos, right? But let's say the bread is totally spoiled, then you don't make a bracha at all. So it's hard to define. Like would you eat it b'shas atcha? I guess like, would you eat it b'shas atcha? Does it have any nutritional value at all? Or is it going to make you sick? If it's going to make you sick, you don't make a bracha. If it has some nutritional value, right, then you make a bracha. That's that. You know where this comes in? This comes in, let's say I'm taking medicine and I need to take it with a liquid, right? So if I drink water, so the water doesn't have any nutritional value. The water is only valuable if you're thirsty.
You don't make a bracha.
Right? If you're thirsty, you have to drink. If you're not thirsty, there's no reason to drink the water. So then you wouldn't make a bracha on the water unless you're thirsty. But if you're drinking orange juice, which has intrinsic nutritional value, then you make a bracha even though the only reason why you're drinking it right now is to take the pill. Mm-hmm. Right? But the water doesn't, so it will be the same thing over here. If the spoiled apple has some nutritional value, then you make a bracha. But if it has zero nutritional value, you wouldn't make a bracha. Now, so far we have Rashi on one side with the Rashba, Rashi and Rashba on the one side, that the Svara is to have Shvach and Hoida, and you have the Marsha and the Ritva on the other side. Now, the Kesef Mishnah asks a very interesting question. This question might not have occurred to us. Why is it that before you eat even the slightest amount, you have to make a bracha? Let's say I want to have a crumb of bread. I make a motzi, but I don't bench unless I had a kazayas. Let's say I want to have half a grape. I make a borei pri ho'etz, right? But I don't make a bracha achrayna unless I had a kazayas.
Even if pachas by shir, you still make a bracha?
You make a bracha rishayna on a mashu. So a crumb of bread, you have to make a motzi. Make a motzi. Hamotzi lechem in aretz. Right? You make a motzi. But you don't bench unless it's a kazayas. So the Kesef Mishnah actually...
I was on the hen in here.
I was nena on the mashu. I ate a mashu.
No. Okay, but the answer is according to the old misfortune. Rashi, Rashba, Ritva, that all that you have to get a permission.
So the Kesef Mishnah actually asks this question. Lama rak bevorchen bracha achrayna she'achar sho'achal kishir kezayis. The bracha achrayna is only after a kezayis. But the bracha rishayna bevorchen afilu al mashu. Why? So you gave a good answer. So did this question ever occur to you? Why do you make a bracha rishayna on a mashu, but the bracha achrayna is not unless you ate a shir kezayis?
So it's not real enough.
So why do I make a bracha rishayna?
You need permission to eat it in front.
So the Kesef Mishnah answers, really, this is the Kesef Mishnah, really you should only make a bracha rishayna, potentially, theoretically, if you ate a shir. The only thing is, you don't know that ahead of time. You don't know ahead of time, like a practical answer. You don't know ahead of time that you're going to eat a shir. So the Chacham made a takana that make the bracha because you might eat a shir. But afterwards, when you're finished eating, now you can fully assess if I ate a shir or not. So you only make the bracha achrayna if you ate a shir. So the Kesef Mishnah holds that the question is really correct, right? He really agrees to the premise of the question. There shouldn't be a difference between a bracha rishayna and bracha achrayna. Both of them, you really should only have to make a bracha if you eat the shir. The only thing is, it's a pragmatic thing. You don't know ahead of time if you're going to eat a shir or not, so you make a bracha. Masha Enkein, the bracha achrayna is only if you eat a shir. So now,
isn't the shir come to force you to do the bracha achrayna?
The what?
What was the purpose of doing the shir, kazai?
So the mafarshim, yeah. So the mafarshim say the reason why you need a shir is because it has to be an achila. Because the pasuk, we base it on the pasuk, yochalta v'savata. It has to be nachila. So we have a halacha l'moshe m'sinai regarding other, like matzah, other things, right? You have to eat a kazayis. A kazayis is a shir achila. Anything less than a kazayis is not called an achila. So the bracha achrona is based on achila, and the bracha rishona is even if it's smaller than an achila. But the question is why? Right? Why do I make a bracha achrona only on achila, and a bracha rishona is even less? So the Kesef Mishnah agrees with the premise of the question, and he says, you're right. Really, you shouldn't make a bracha rishona either if it's less than a gezeis. The only thing is, there's a practical consideration. Before you eat, you don't know if you're going to end up eating a gezeis or not, so they made a takana to make a bracha. The bracha achrona, by then you know what you ate, so if it's less than a gezeis, you don't make a bracha. If you ate a gezeis, you make a bracha. So you see from the Kesef Mishnah that he equates, theoretically, he holds that the bracha rishona should be exactly like the bracha achrona. He just gives like a practical difference. But fundamentally, both brachas really only deserve to be made if you ate a shiur, right? That's what the Kesef Mishnah answers. Really, be'etzem gam lebracha rishona boi shiur. Technically, you should require a shiur for the bracha rishona as well. Rak the mechayv and al kol shehu mishum the chashin on the soif alecha kashir. That's what the Kesef Mishnah says. Right? It's a practical consideration. You might end up eating a shiur. Imagine if you didn't make a bracha because you thought that you weren't going to eat a shiur, right? And then, in the meantime, you kept on eating and eating and eating, and you ate a shiur. So it's going to turn out that you ended up eating a shiur without a bracha. So they made a taka. But the opposite, what's the opposite?
You thought you were going to eat a kazais, but you didn't. So if the bracha has to be on kazais, then...
So the Kesef Mishnah says it's like a loy plug. In other words, since often you don't know if you'll end up eating a shiur or not, mm-hmm. So therefore you make a bracha regardless. But fundamentally, he agrees, you know when this comes up, this thing about changing the bracha in the middle, the halacha is like this. Halacha is, let's say I'm eating cake, you know the halacha, if you eat cake, if you're kaveya asuda, so you can eat a kazais, you can eat a kaveya, but it's a whole shaila what being kaveya asuda is. Some say it's a standardized shiur of 4 bayim, some say it's the amount that you would eat for a meal, but imagine if I'm eating some cake, and before I know it, I ate the whole cake. Right? That doesn't happen. It never happens, right? So you start eating a little bit and you only made a mezoinis, and then before you know it, you've already been kaveya asuda, right? So at what point should you now make hamotzi? Right, there's a whole shaila. So do you make hamotzi now if you're going to eat an additional amount to be kaveya suda, or can you be mitzaref what you ate before to transition the bracha from mezonis to hamotzi? Right?
What about the other food?
Can't you say mezonis and kaveya suda?
So, but yeah, baby, you're supposed to make hamotzi. Pasa baba kisnin, you're supposed to make hamotzi. So imagine if my pasa baba kisnin turned into lechem, because now in the middle I decided to be kaveya suda. So at what point do you make the bracha? What? You bench.
That's no question.
You for sure bench. The shaila is, at what point do I transition my mezoinis into a mitzvah?
By then, too late to make the bracha because you finished.
Right, exactly. So that's basically what the Kesef Mishnah is saying over here, right? That if we say, don't make a bracha until you eat a shir, then before you know it, you'll have eaten a shir, right? So we make a takana, make a bracha before regardless. But the bracha achrayin is only if you actually ate a shir. But you see from the Kesef Mishnah that he fundamentally holds that the two brachas are the same, right? Now, ulechore mavur Medivri Kesef Mishnah, like the Rashi and the Rashba, right? Because the Rashi and the Rashba say that the Svara, why you have to make a bracha, is a chi of Gavra, right? Shevach. In other words, it's not because you can't eat, right? Really, Hashem gave us the food already. The Svara is, you have to thank Hashem. So according to Rashi and the Rashba, the bracha Rishoina and the bracha Achroina are the same. It's to thank Hashem, right? So now the Kesef Mishnah's question is a valid question. If both brachas are the same Svara, to thank Hashem, why would the bracha rishona be on a mashu and the bracha achrona is only on a kazayis? It's a valid question. If it's the same svara, why are they different regarding the shir? So the Kesef Mishnah gives his technical answer because we're afraid you'll eat the shir.
So it seems the mea brachot rely on Rashi and the Rashban.
Why? Mea brachot? Why? That's a Gemara Menachas. I actually spoke
about that. Right, because you need to say mea brachot, like to mention the bracha.
It's part of like thanking Hashem.
You're right, but it's not the
chiyuv
according to the
ritva. I was thinking of that. Maybe even though you're making the bracha to get permission, but maybe it still counts towards your 100 brachas because at the end of the day you're bringing Hashem into you're mentioning Hashem, so you can kill two brachas.
So, I'm sorry. So if it's shevach, then why do you need a shir?
So you could ask it that way. So the reason why you need a shir is because we base it on the pasuk v'yochalta v'sabata. So you only have to give the shevach if you ate a significant amount. So that's why the Kesef Mishnah poses the question the opposite way. You could have really asked it that way, but you can ask the question the opposite way. Being that we require a shir at the end because of v'yochalta, so why don't you need a shir at the beginning? Why do you make a bracha at the beginning on less than a shir? right? So the Kesef Mishnah acknowledges the question. He agrees to the premise of the question, and he says that you're really right. There's really no difference, right? It's just a technical consideration that if you don't make a bracha in the beginning, before you know it, you ate a shoe, right? So we always make a bracha at the beginning, but technically, you really should only make the bracha if there's a shoe. So you see from the Kesef Mishnah that he holds, like Rashi and the Rashba, that the bracha Rishoina and bracha Achroina are the same svara. That's why he compared the two regarding the shear. But this is what you said. But if you hold, like the Ritva, that the bracha Rishoina is not to steal because you don't have permission until you make the bracha, and the bracha Achroina is to thank, so there's no premise that the question doesn't start. Because why should you compare one bracha to the other? The first bracha is to get permission. The second bracha is to thank. So when it comes to thank, you only have to thank on a significant amount. But when it comes to getting permission, you have to get permission even on Mashu. The whole question wouldn't start. The fact that the Kesef Mishnah compares the after bracha to the before bracha, it shows that he holds like the Rashi and the Rashba that they're the same svar. It's very interesting.
Let me answer this. How do you consider the fact that you're saying, because you said it twice for the Chatov, Zerot, and Rashi?
Yeah.
How could you say somebody not eating a shear is a chilul?
You can't. That's why we say it's a kesayis.
So why don't we say it a different way? Because if you're saying the word be'ochel, somebody ate.
Oh, I use that word. I guess I'm using that word loosely. Right.
Okay.
It's true. If you eat less, no, you're right. Technically, you're right. If you ate less than a kesayis in the Torah's eyes, you can't refer to that as an achilul.
Oh, okay.
You're really correct. Now here are some practical differences between the machlekes. Now this is meridic. So Tosfos says in Maseches Brachos like this. It's a very interesting in the Gemara in Brachos. Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Borei Pri Agafen, right? Or Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shakol Niyeh B'dvarah. So the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Beis, right? According to Rashi, the Gemara wonders what's the main part of the bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem, Hashem's name. Or is the main part of the bracha the conclusion, Bur Priyagah, right? So the shaila is like this, what's the difference? Imagine if I'm holding a cup of water and I thought that it was wine, okay? I made a mistake, I thought it was wine. So I say, Baruch Ato Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, I said Hashem's name, with the intention of concluding Bur Priyagah. I thought that it was wine, so I'm directing my utterance of Hashem's name toward the wine. And then I realize at the last minute that it's water, so I take a left turn and I say Shakom Liyeh B'dvarah. So it's like you have two halves of the bracha. The first half of the bracha, when you said Hashem's name, the kavana was on wine, right? And then at the end you realized, so you stuck a shahakol onto the first half of the bracha that was wine, right? I don't think this question even would have dawned on us, right? But the Gemara says that there are two parts to the bracha. There's Hashem's name, and there's the conclusion of the bracha. Which is the more important part of the bracha?
Depends what you hold. If it's to be matir,
oh, very interesting.
You're not stealing, then it's got to be the correct bracha.
Interesting. I hear.
And if it's like a Hodat Hashem, it is a Bar Pri Agafen.
Right.
It's a Zachem Bar Pri Agafen.
Baruch Ato Hashem is an introduction.
Right.
To whatever you're going to do next.
So you hold the Iker is the end.
The Iker would be the end. So if you got to that point, you said Baruch Pri Agafen, you can correct yourself.
So the Gemara clarifies. The Gemara has a suffix. The Gemara says like this: If you're holding wine, and you thought that it was water, the opposite case, and you started saying Baruch Ato Hashem, thinking that it was water, and then you conclude Borei Pri Agafen, you're Yotzei for sure. Why? Because Borei Pri Agafen fits, and Shahakal also fits. So the Baruch Ato Hashem fits, and the Borei Pri Agafen fits. But the reverse case, where you thought that it was wine, and it was really water, so you said Baruch Ato Hashem, thinking to say wine, Baruch Pri Agafen, so the Hashem was going on the wine, and then you concluded Shahakal at the last minute, so the first half of the bracha does not fit onto the water, the second half of the bracha fits. So what's the halacha? The Gemara says it's a suffix. We don't know the answer.
But you always can.
That's what the Gemara says.
In the time of Shalom Alech Harabi.
No, because it's too late, because you already said Baruch Ato Hashem with the kavana of wine. So the Tokeh Dibor is not going to change what your kavana was. In other words, so Tosfos explains. Yeah, the Tosfos explains. If you knew that it was wine, and, well, let's say I knew it was water, and by mistake I mumbled Borei Pri HaGafen, then I can change Techli Dibur because the Kavana was there. But in the case of the Gemara, the Kavana wasn't there. The Kavana in the beginning was for wine, right? And the Baruch Ato Hashem for wine doesn't fit onto the water. You didn't redo the entire bracha.
So this has nothing to do with the Chatimah?
No, it doesn't help. That's the Shaila. So it's a Suffolk. So now, it's a very interesting Gemara. So now, there's a Machlokes Rishonim, the Rif and the Ri, Rabbeinu Yitzchak. What do you do when there's a suffix? So what do we do when you have a suffix? We always paskin suffix bracha lahakil. So the Rif paskin suffix bracha lahakil. We go lakula. Lakula, we don't repeat the bracha. The Ri paskins, you should repeat the bracha.
Even the Rabbanan.
So we don't paskin like the Ri. We paskin that whenever you have a doubt, you don't make the bracha. But the Ri actually holds, not like we hold. The Ri holds that when you have a suffix, birkas anenin, you have to repeat the bracha. Right? So now, there are those who say that the Ri and the Rabbeinu Alfas are arguing on the same machlokes as Rashi and the Ritva. According to...
Because how do you get Hanan?
Oh, according to Rashi, you're allowed to eat the food be'etzem, right? You just have to thank Hashem. Mm-hmm. So if it's a suffix, if I have to thank Hashem, because it's only the Rabbanan, you can be lenient. But according to the Ritva, that it's usher to eat the food until you make a bracha, so suffix iser l'chumra. So therefore you have to repeat the bracha, because otherwise it's usher to eat the food. You might be doing an iser. If it's just a question of thanking Hashem, right, not to minimize, but if you're allowed to eat the food regardless, it's just a question if you have to thank Hashem, then we can, it's easier to hear Safik Durabana Lakula, like any mitzvah. If I have a chiyuv Durabana, if it's a Safik, you don't have to do it. But over here, according to the Ritva, it's usher to eat the food until you make a bracha, so there's more reason to have to be machmir, because you might be doing an iser, right? That's what the Rav Kineger says. So it's very geshmak. The machlokes between Rav Alfas and the Ri is the same machlokes between the Ritva and the Rashi. Now, how do we paskin? We paskin Safik Durabana Lakula, right? That means that we would paskin like Rashi, that the bracha is just for the Shevach. Now, here's another clear nafgamina. So that's what we say in Yud, right? In Yud, the machlokes between the Rav Alfas and the Ri is perhaps the same machlokes as Rashi in the Ritva. Now, the Gemara says, it doesn't apply nowadays anymore, but in the times of the Gemara, there was something called Takanas Ezra. Takanas Ezra was that if a person had a seminal emission, he was intimate with his wife or whatever, so then he can't recite any brachas. Okay, so the halacha is he eats without a bracha because a balkeri is asir b'divrei Torah and tefillah, so he would eat without a bracha, right? So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, he wants to bring a raya from this halacha to Rashi, right? Because if you hold like the Ritva, that it's asir to eat before a bracha, period. So how could the balkeri eat, right? How could the balkeri eat? If you hold like Rashi that you're allowed to eat, you just have to thank Hashem. Okay, so you're telling me that I'm not allowed to make a bracha now, right?
Just one more question. I think on the machlokas, why isn't Onain?
Oh, so that's the next one. Yud Beis. Rav Shlomo Zalman brings your raya and Onain and Yud Beis. He's potter from any mitzvah saseh, but he has to observe the lois saseh, right? So, for example, in Onain, he has to wash before he eats bread. Because the reason why we wash is midrabanan and srach tumah, because we don't want to be metame the truma. So it's like to remind us of the iser, the natnda. So it's like an iser. So even an oinein has to wash his hands before he eats bread, but he doesn't make a bracha. So says Rav Shlomo Zalman, the same point as the balkeri, same thing, the point that you just made. If you hold like Rashi that it's just the chi of hoida, it's more understandable why an oinein doesn't have to make the bracha because he doesn't have to daven. But if you hold like the Ritva that it's usher, it should be like washing, right? He should be required to observe any loisa say. So he should have to. So the fact that an oinein doesn't make a bracha is also a raya, right? To Rashi, that's a chi of hoida, and that's actually how we paskin. So we paskin that a suffik bracha lakula, in other words, now. The psak is consistent all the way through. We paskin that a suffik bracha lakula, that means it's shvach. We paskin that a balkeri wouldn't make a bracha in the times of the Gemara. We paskin like that an oinein doesn't make a bracha. So it's very consistent all the way through. There's another nafkamina, and this borderlines on what you were saying before, Gidon, what you said before. What happens if I eat my chalas asuris? What happens if a person eats something that's not kosher, for whatever reason, right? So if it's pikuach nefesh, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, you make a bracha. Because then it's like it's mutter, like on Yom Kippur. Right? But if you're eating something usher, I don't know why the person, but he's eating something usher, but he wants to know, do I have to make a bracha at least, right? He can't control the urge not to eat a cheeseburger, but he wants to know, at least, should I make a bracha, right? So the Rambam holds you don't make a bracha, The Ravid holds that you do make a bracha, and the Rush holds like the Ravid, right? So the Achronim, they want to be toiled on the same shaila. Be'etzem, I think you mentioned this before, Be'etzem, it should be like a mitzvah b'aveira, right? So if you hold, like Rashi, that the purpose of the bracha is to be shvach and hayda, so it's like a mitzvah b'aveira, right? Ein zem avarech elam anayitz, right? You're going to make a bracha if you're eating something usher, you're going to thank Hashem for the schus of eating something usher, it doesn't make sense. So you don't make a bracha. That's the Rambam Shita. But if you hold that it's usher to eat it until you make a bracha, so this food happens to be usher to eat anyway, right? But now there are two reasons why it's usher to eat, right? So you should at least make a bracha, right? So it's true that it's usher to eat anyway, but it's usher for two reasons. You might as well make it mutter at least for one reason, right? So the Ravid holds that the reason is because it's usher to eat, like the Ritva, right? So it would come out, but the Psak Halacha is consistent, because we paskin that an oinin doesn't make a bracha, a Balkari in the times of the Gemara doesn't make a bracha, we paskin that a Suffolk you go lakula, and we also paskin, like the Rambam, that you do not make a bracha on Isser. Okay. Now, just to conclude, the Mishnah Berurah, he brings a time. The Mishnah Berurah says that he clears the shaila. What happens if a person is an oines, and for some reason he can't make a bracha? Let's say he's in the area is soiled. You can't make a bracha if there's tzaya or something like that. So what's the halacha if you can't make a bracha for some reason? Right. So are you allowed to eat? So the Mishnah Berurah gives a mashal. Let's say the person's in the bathhouse, he's in the mikvah, so people are there undressed or whatever. So and you're thirsty. Can you take a coffee in the mikvah? Okay, right? Can you drink without making a bracha? So the Mishnah Berurah says you can't, because you can't benefit without a bracha. So I saw that the Shiri Shevet Levi, he takes issue, because since we paskin like Rashi's understanding, that it's not an isser to eat, it's a shevach. So if you're not allowed to make the shevach, who says you can't eat? It's a chi of gavra. It's not an isser chetza. If you hold like the Ritva, you can't eat until you make a bracha, period. But if you hold like Rashi, it's mutter to eat, really. It's just that you have to make the bracha first because of a chi of gavra. If I can't make the bracha, maybe I can eat without making the bracha. So he takes issue with the Mishnah Berurah. So at the end he says, but really we understand the Mishnah Berurah, because all the Mishnah Berurah means is that just because you want to have a coffee in the mikvah, that's not a good enough reason. Why don't you just go out and take a coffee outside, right? It's not an oinus. But really, if there will be a real oinus, the Shevet Levi, the Shira Shevet Levi, entertains very strongly that you should be allowed to eat without a bracha.
So during a time, you know, people wasn't saying Siberia, and they eat, unfortunately, food that human beings don't eat.
Right.
And
right.
Because of that, they survive.
Right.
So
they're eating like waste or something like that? So
human beings.
How about the more practical?
So that's pikuach nefesh. That's pikuach nefesh. You probably would. Because that the we pass if it's pikuach nefesh.
Yeah.
Okay, Yasha Kleya, thank you.